Well, it was good to hear. And it's always good to hear that your work is being used by other people. So today I'm just going to talk briefly about our development and testing of a new index for Kentucky. Like many states, with a revised 590, we've had to reevaluate our index. We've done some work similar to what Nicole mentioned as far as comparing the output to, let's say, the Apple model, and found some significant limitations. Also, if you look at some of the minimum criteria set forth by NRCS, does not meet. So an interagency committee was put together to look at how we can develop a new index for Kentucky. So the original index was patterned after the Munyon and Gilbert index, 10 field characteristics, each with a weight, which, like many of the first generation PIs, were just based on best professional judgment. And then you have a rating system from low, medium, high, and very high. Again, best professional judgment, but at the time, the data just were not available to come up with some of these relationships that we have now. So you just assign the rating to the weight, you get a weighted rating, add that up, the additive formulation. Of course, Bill Gaburek and others have shown a long time ago that this approach, this additive approach, ignores critical source areas, so that it really does not adequately capture the risk at particular locations in the field. So some of the things, so we just kind of stepped back and looked at, all right, if we're going to start from new, what are we going to incorporate? How do we start with a clean slate? Well, the first is what I would call is a component formulation. Okay, what's a component formulation? Well, basically it's just taking the phosphorus index, and for each component that is contributing to phosphorus loss, separate those out where you have a source and a transport factor. And we argue in this paper that it's a better approach than even the multiplicative approach. But basically, it best represents physical processes governing P loss in the field, and it's an approach used by our process-based phosphorus loss models. And so right now, we've only focused on surface runoff. We know that with the karst terrain in areas in Kentucky, we have issues with groundwater. We have not yet addressed that. We hope to in the future, in the near future. The original index did not include erosion or P application rates. It also used categorical variables, values for things like runoff, so hydrologic soil group, so you just have four options. And of course, within a hydrologic soil group, you can have variability due to land cover management, etc. So what we decided to do was then use a curve number method to calculate runoff, annual runoff, and by doing this, we collected 30-year precipitation data for each county, and the ones that did not have the data, we averaged surrounding counties, use the SCS method, generated runoff for a range of curve numbers, and then developed the relationship, empirical relationship between runoff and curve number. And this is similar to what's been done in, let's say, the Georgia and Pennsylvania index, or not the North Carolina and Georgia index as examples. Just to show you, so out of 112 counties, we found a power relationship, described the data pretty well. On the right, you see the worst fit of the counties used. Seven counties, we use an exponential relationship. Again, pretty good overall capturing. So now the user would just enter in the county name, which would look up these A and B parameters. And the county-specific parameters were surprisingly varied. So we did not take an average for the whole state. And then the curve number that you get from running, let's say, Russell 2 or from tables, published tables, based on land use and hydrologic soil group. Using continuous rather than categorical values for input variables. Weights, this is important based on published data relating phosphorus loss to source and transport factors. Much of the relationships we use is work that Peter Vadas and colleagues have published. Because we're using empirically based weight in a component formulation, you could in principle be used to actually calculate phosphorus loads. But the index is not intended to do that, nor do we want it to be used to do that. So what we did is we added a scaling factor. This was for a couple reasons. One for that, and also with this new index, we were getting high risk values at, let's say, 5. Before, it had been 100. So as you can imagine, trying to communicate that to your stakeholders, even though it's an apples to oranges comparison, it still is going to be very problematic. So we scaled in such a way so that the numbers would be similar to the previous index, even though it's really comparing. It is an apples to oranges comparison, but we just felt that this was the better approach. So just to look at it, again, just three components, dissolved phosphorus from three sources, soil, fertilizer, manure, a BMP factor, and the particulate P loss. These are just generally linear equations except for the erosion where you have the phosphorus enrichment ratio, which is a nonlinear relationship. Now, we decided on going with runoff to precipitation ratio rather than just runoff for describing phosphorus loss from applied manure and fertilizer. Again, based in part on some of Peter Vadas's work and also just kind of some theoretical considerations. And then application factor. So nothing complicated, nothing novel here really. So now evaluating it. In Kentucky, we really don't have any data to evaluate against. But we're not alone. Many states are like this, and so you kind of, it's a dilemma. Do you just walk away, or what do you do? So what we chose to do is to take this new index and evaluate against a national PLOS data set that's been compiled by Peter Vadas as part of his Apple model evaluation. And I guess as an aside here, I'm focusing on the word purposely using evaluate, not validate. So we're looking at this. Most of these data were collected in the U.S., some overseas. We also compared the original index with a new index for a subset of data that were collected in the South. And these data were used recently by Deanna Osman in a paper comparing Southern PIs. So we have a subset of data for that, comparing the two, just to see what type of differences our new index, you know, all this work, is there going to be much of a difference? And then finally, one of the concerns has been with this new index, is it going to dramatically affect phosphorus planning, management planning in Kentucky? And if so, you know, what are the implications? So what we did is we just randomly took data from comprehensive nutrient management plans, 46 of them, or at least from 46 fields, and just ran that information through both indices, and just to compare, you know, how much of a difference is this new index going to have. Okay, so if we look at the national data set, we see a pretty good correlation. Use Spearman's Rho rather than Pearson's R for a couple reasons. It's more resistant to outliers, doesn't assume normally distributed data. But statistically significant, the 1 to 20 line, remember, scaling factor, so if this was a perfect prediction, it would fall in that line. Not surprisingly, though, even though there's a general good correlation, that there's a lot of scatter. It's a phosphorus index. It's only going to do so good. So, and we have to have some reasonable expectations of our index. So as far as now the Southern data set, this is the original index. We had to make a couple assumptions because it does not account for all the information that we need to put in, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But in this case, it is a statistically significant correlation if you squint. But you can see kind of it increases with increasing measured phosphorus loss. And not surprisingly, if we compare it with a new index, the new index is, the correlation is much higher. The data fall nicely, quote unquote, on that 1 to 20 line. But I think by looking at it, it's an improvement. But it's not a surprise because this index is more physically based, if you will, more up to date. We believe better captures the processes. But again, I guess I need to reiterate, though, that like many first-generation PIs, the original index in Kentucky, there was just limited information. They were just did what they had available. We have the benefit of, 15 years of research to update these. Somewhat surprisingly, I guess, is we actually found a significant correlation between the two when we used the data from the comprehensive nutrient management plans. These were written this year. So in general, as the revised index goes up in value, so does the original index. Now, if you look at this horizontal line, the data that fall above that, the original index would restrict manure application to P-based rates. Below would be nitrogen-based rates. On this dashed vertical line, the new index to the left would be loud nitrogen-based, to the right, phosphorus-based. So you can see we have four quadrants, if you will. In the first quadrant is that both indices allow nitrogen-based rates. Okay, so that's out of the 46, I think it's 35. So actually, for the majority of these fields, they're going to allow, both would allow, nitrogen-based application rates. On two of the fields, the old index is actually more restrictive than the new index. In five of the fields, they both would allow phosphorus-based application, would restrict the phosphorus-based application. And then in for five of the fields, the new index is more restrictive than the old one. But there's a caveat here in that the original index in the original 590 was not required until you hit 400 pounds P per acre. All of these fields were below that. So technically, it is a lot more restrictive because using the old 590, all of these fields would be allowed to have nitrogen-based rates applied. But the new 590 requires that the index be used if you're above agronomic. So what we did was we took the original index and just scaled down, 5 minutes, okay. And we just scaled down the soil test p-values just to count, because we would at least have to modify that. All right, so one of the benefits that I'm going to argue for using this kind of component formulation with empirically based weights is that the relative contribution of each component should be reasonably accurate and can aid in management planning. It could be a visual aid. So what I mean by this is here are the 10 fields that the new index identified as either having a moderate to high risk, essentially where you're going to be limited to P application based rates. And you can look at this, that the majority of the fields, the cause of that is the manure application. So that would be, the planner could then say, well, we need to either reduce our manure application rates a little bit, or we can incorporate it, we can do something that would reduce that risk. And it's, I think, a visual aid that will assist planners that the old index was not capable of doing. And also it identifies a couple of fields where you see that particular P loss is a major contributor. Thus, the planner would look at ways to either through tillage practices, some type of management, to reduce erosion that could then reduce your index value and free you up as far as maybe get you down below into the low risk where you could apply nitrogen-based rates. So I think that it also, besides being more physically realistic and representative, that it's going to be more useful to planners. So in conclusions, just the original index had several limitations with it. Just we updated it to account for the new science that's been, findings that have been found over the last 15 years. It's likely going to be somewhat more restrictive, but it's not going to be so overly restrictive that we, again, based on limited sampling, that it's going to be overly burdensome to the producers. And it provides a visual tool to aid planners to identify dominant PLOS pathways. And it's part of Jorge Delgado, who's a colleague at ARS in Colorado. He's incorporated into a graphical user interface and combined it with the nitrogen index. So this will allow relatively easy to use user interface for the planners and producers. So that.